This week, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, Shabbos Haba Aleinu L'Toyva is Parshas Parah. So let us read the Mishnah. It's a Mishnah Masechet Megillah, and Daf Chav Tes Samed Aleph, Rosh Chodesh Adar. Shechalias b'Shabbos Karen b'Parshas Shkolim. Okay, that we already gone through. Chalias b'Secha Shabbos Magdimim l'Shavar. If Rosh Chodesh Adar falls in the middle of the week, so we read Parshas Shkolim before Rosh Chodesh. Umavsikin l'Shabbos Acheres. Then one Shabbos, the next Shabbos, we do nothing. B'Shtiyah Zohar. B'Shlishis Parah Aduma. So we're up to now the third Parsha of Parah Aduma. Now Rashi then Bavius, the fourth Parsha, which will be Im Yirtzeh Hashem, was it next week? Is going to be the next back to back. Bavius Hachodesh Hazel Lochem. Okay, and then Bachamishis. What about number five? The fifth Kois. Nope. Chozer Mechassidim. We go back to the regular Haftorah. Nothing. Even though we call it Shabbos Hagadol. We have a break, though. We have a break before Shabbos HaGadol, but Shabbos HaGadol, we don't lay any special maftir. Okay, fine. Now, Rashi, why do we lay in parashas for Bishop? We say parashas Shkolim, we know why we Shkolim, because we give everyone a month to deliver the Machsa Shekel to the Beis HaMikdash so they can participate in the cost of the new Korbanos. All right, we understand. Parashas Zohar. It's a mitzvah deraisa. Zohar eis hashasluch amolek b'derech b'tzeischem b'mitzvah. It's a mitzvah deraisa once a year, and it's the appropriate time to mechayim the mitzvahs before Purim, before the mechias amolek in the Megillah. Okay, we understand. Hachodesh, we also understand. Hachodesh zelachem rosh chodashim. It's the first mitzvah in the Torah. But why the most bizarre of the four, which most people have difficulty grasping, is why are we learning Parshas Chukas, Parah Aduma, Tanima? What's this all about? So Rashi says a few words. Lehazir es Yisrael letaher sheyasu pischehen b'tahara. That's what it says. Fascinating. The reason why we learn Parshas Parah is we shall purify ourselves so that we can bring our Korban Pesach in a state of Tahara, of purity. Now the difficulty with this is, if that's really true, we should lay in Parshas Parah after Parshas HaChodesh. You only need 7 days to prepare for Pesach. And in fact, if you prepare too early, you're putting yourself in jeopardy, you may become tummy once again. You need, the process of Parah Aduma is, you go to Mikvah on day number one. You then count 3 days, and on 3 days you show up in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen sprinkles on you the water of the Parah Aduma. Parah Aduma was a red parah. It was slaughtered on Har Mishcha, on Har HaZeisim, and it was burnt to ash, and the ash was mingled with water, Mayim Chayim, and this water was stored in a special location, and they would take a small amount of this water and sprinkle it upon those people that were Tamei Tumas Nes on the third day and on their seventh day. And after you get sprinkled the water on your seventh day, you go to Mikvah once again, and now you are cleansed from the Tumas Nes, and you can bring Kodosh, and you can bring your Karban Pesach. So being that the Halach is a person whose Tamei Tumas Nes came in contact with the dead, or in the vicinity of the dead, you're not allowed to offer a carbon, and everyone Klai Yisrael needs to be tar in order to bring a carbon Pesach, and carbon Pesach is a critical carbon in Chodesh Nisan, so we have to prepare, and the way we prepare is by going through the process of this purification of Parah Aduma. So the question is, this takes place after Chodesh Nisan begins. Chodesh Nisan starts, there are 14 days until Pesach, so you have 14 days, we should do this later on. Why are we doing this before Chodesh Nisan? This is a very difficult question which all the commentators deal with. Because in fact, historically, at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says explicitly that on the first day of Chodesh Nisan was the Moshe told them, it was Rosh Chodesh, and the first time a Parah Aduma was prepared, it was on the second day of Nisan. Klal Yisrael, traditionally, they began to purify themselves after Nisan began, not before Nisan. So why then are we laying Parah Aduma after Purim when we have not yet entered into the month of Nisan? So one very interesting answer I saw from the Apterof, the Ohev Yisrael. He says something fascinating. He says, because we need Paraduma to be metaher us from the influence of Amalek. It's a very powerful Musar idea. That even though we've gone through Purim, and in Purim we've gone through the process of Lichias HaMolech, we've obliterated them off the face of the earth. Haman has been defeated. He has been hung with his 10 sons and everything that it represents. But we've come in contact with him. And it's not necessarily in our best interest. It has rubbed off the contamination and the influence of Haman. To a certain degree has rubbed off on us through Purim. Whereas until the time of the Torah, when the Torah was given, there was no Mechias HaMolech. Amalek was something which took place, the story of Purim didn't happen. You can kind of miss Mechias HaMolech any time during the year. It doesn't have to be fulfilled right before Pesach. But in modern times, we are Mekayim, a token fulfillment of Mechias HaMolech takes place at the time of Purim. Surely thereafter we have Pesach. Anyway, the Zman is that we don't bring the Korban Pesach. Therefore, the Apterof says that it is ideal that we should right away focus on Tahara, push it up, and focus on Tahara after Purim to cleanse ourselves from the influence, the contamination of Haman that has occurred on Purim. In other words, Purim is a bitter, sweet holiday. On the one hand, it's wonderful. We have eliminated our enemies. But in the process of eliminating our enemy, we come in contact with them. This residual contamination, residue, and we come in contact with them. And that contact, we don't pay attention to it. We think, what's the big deal? We wipe them out, we kill them, we destroy them. But in the process of going to battle and coming in contact, we have absorbed bad character traits. It's not a good thing to kill someone. It's not a good thing to clap Haman, to celebrate over someone's downfall. Now it's good when it comes to our enemies. We have no choice. We have to celebrate. We have to show that there is evil in this world. But nevertheless, coming into contact with evil, it rubs off on us. And that is the musr, that is the lesson of Parah Aduma. It's very good. There was a Purim. You clapped Haman. You got rid of Haman. But you also have to remember that it may have rubbed off on you the wrong way. There may have been a little bit of bad influence on you. Like I asked someone, there's a certain yeshiva, they have the older boys go to the mesiba, and they're very wild. They have a mesiba, they're very, very wild. Everyone comes there in costumes, masquerade party, and so I asked the principal, how come you don't let the younger kids come? Why is it only for this age group and above? What about? So he says, no. We don't want the little kids coming and seeing these guys that have a very bad influence on them. So if it's a bad influence for the little guys, so what about the big guys? That's how it is. The big guys, the older kids, they need this. They need to let out some steam. They need to rejoice. That's their Purim. But it's not good for everyone. It's not a pure, it's a very interesting idea. Simchas Torah, everyone comes. The children and the adults, there's no distinction. They all come. Purim, the adults get drunk. They're all drunk. They're wearing these crazy costumes. They're doing these crazy things. It's like a wild place. We don't want the little kids to see this. But it's Purim. It's holy. It's Kedusha. Yeah, you're right. It is. But unfortunately, Purim is not all it's meant to be.
You put a filter on the computer.
Therefore, that's to a certain degree, that's exactly what Paraduma is all about. It's to cleanse us from the negative influences of Purim. Not in a bad way. We're talking about even in the most holy way, where we're being Mekayim Mitzvah Mechias HaMolech. Even from Parsha Zohar, that's why we need, the Apterof says we need Parsha Zohar to follow after. Okay, that's one idea. Let's go to another idea. Some short ideas. I saw a very good question. The Chassam Soev asked this question by Wolfson also. He discusses at length. He asks a very good question. The Gemara Rashi tells us in Parshas Chukas, the reason why that we have a mitzvah paradum, it's a chok, we have no understanding how this works. They take a para, a red para, who doesn't have any black hairs, to burn it, to produce ash, to mix it with water, and you sprinkle this water on a person who's contaminated, he becomes becomes tahar, and the people that are involved in the preparation and the spinning, they become tamei, it doesn't make one bit of sense. We have no understanding. It is the quintessential chok. It's a chok. Okay, very good. But Rashi says, Moshe Hadarshan told us there's a reason. The para is mechaper for the chet ha'egel. And it's very appropriate for this week's parasha. How often do we have that parashas paras, parashas kisisa, parashas kisisa is the chet ha'egel, and then we have the antidote for the maftir. This is a real package deal. This week we really exactly the jackpot. We have the chet ha'egel, and we don't have to wait immediately instant gratification. We have the kapara, the atonement of parashas para aduma. What's the kapara? The egel is a baby calf, a baby para. The para is an adult. When a child makes a mess, let the mother come and clean up after its mess. Just the mashal, mother of a daimer, go into a palace, and the baby makes a mess, soils the palace. The king says, let the mother of the baby come and clean up the mess of the child. The egel is the object of sin. We worship the egel, El Elohecha Yisrael. So let the mother of the egel, the para, come clean up after the sin. It will be sacrificed, it will be burnt, it will be mixed with water, it will serve as an atonement. So, Rabbi, the Chassam Sev is a very good question, very powerful question. Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara says that a para is kosher if it's 2 years old. It has to be within its second year, because a cow, within its first year, it's called an egel. Once the animal is in its second year, it's no longer an egel, it's already called a para. Problem is, the Gemara explicitly says that an animal, a para, cannot give birth to a child until it's 3 years old. It's not an adult, it doesn't work. It's not mature enough. So the question is, since the whole time is the mother shall come and clean up after the baby, but the mother is only 2 years old, it's not a mother. It's too young, should be 3 years old. So how can Rabbi Eliezer and the Gemara tell us that a par is kosher to serve as a par when it's 2 years old, but because it's no longer called an egel, but it's not yet potential to become, if you don't hold on this region of Rash, Ramesha, Darshan, it's a chok, a quintessential chok, we don't understand, okay, so fine. But once you're already giving a reason, because the mother should clean up, but it's not a mother, it's too young to give birth, it's a very good question. But Wolfson answers, he says an incredible answer, and this opens up, I'm not going into the depth of what this means. That's exactly what the purpose of Par Aduma is. Potential. The mother cannot give birth. It's too young to give birth. It's no longer an egel. An egel only goes until the age of one. Once it's 1 year and 1 day, it's no longer an egel. It's now called a par. But it can't give birth. If it can't give birth, how can we fulfill the medrash that the mother will come? The answer is, the potential is there. The potential that this creature will one day in the future, in a year from now, be old enough to give birth to a child and be a mother, that already is enough for it now to atone for the sin of its child. And that it tells us, that's all exactly what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants when it comes to Taira. When we come and ask Hashem to be Metaira us, to cleanse us from our sins, we don't need to come with a full dosage of tshuva, of sincerity. We don't need to be deserving. We just need to show Hashem that we have potential. If we have, so it's sincere, and we're willing to work on ourselves, Hashem is saying, I'm willing now to pour upon you Mayim Toharim, to cleanse you, to purify you, even though right now you're not holding where you should be holding. But if you show me that you possess the potential to reach a level of spirituality, of holiness, which is necessary for the bracha that I want to give you, I'm willing to give it to you in advance because you have that earning power. That's the limud musar of what Parashas Par is all about. We're not holding where we should be. And especially in our day and age. Today, what? Today is a Par Aduma. We're holding by a Par Aduma today. We're not holding by a Karan Pesach. There's no Beis HaMikdash. We're telling Hashem, we're going to lay in Par Aduma. really? You're going to land paraduma the Shabbos whole Klal Yisrael year? You have a parah somewhere? They always have the news. Oh, they have found the paraduma, and then it always dissipates. You never hear about it anymore. Why not? Oh, it grew two black hairs. So what are we doing? It's a joke. We don't have paraduma. That's the whole purpose of paraduma. The paraduma is coming mechaper on the eagle, but it's not a mother. It hasn't have a baby. It can't even give birth. Potential. The day will come and it will give birth. That's what we're telling the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Baruch Hashem, the time to redeem us is here. We're ready for redemption. We're deserving of redemption. We're holding what we should be holding. We're ridiculous. But we have potential. If the conditions are right, and the environment is right, and we have the right leaders, and we have the right things are in place, we do have potential to be where we should be, and that's what we're mevakesh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Parshas Parah, Parsha which comes after Purim. Okay, let me go to another idea, another quick idea. Yeah?
The reason the Dalai calls out Sofik Derais, what is that?
There are two opinions in the Gemara if Bizman has said the reading of Parshas Parah is a mitzvah like Parshas Zohar, is it a din deraisa, or is it a din derabanan? I don't know where it comes from. I don't know the sources. But there are a group of Rishonim that are of the opinion that just like there's a mitzvah to remember Los Tishkach, there's also a requirement, Zos Chukas HaTorah, this is what Hashem said, you shall do this, I'm digging the past, and this is something which should be done, which you have to remember and recall that there should be purity. Okay, let's go to another idea. This is a very short idea. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Asay, do, let me read you the exact words. Asay ritzonai kirtzoncha. Make his will, the will of Hashem, like your will. Kidei sheyase ritzoncha kirtzono. So that Hashem shall make your will his will. And one more time. The Mishnah says, Asay ritzono, see to it that you make the will of his will, the will of Hashem kirtzoncha, your will. You do exactly what Hashem wants you to do. And how will Hashem reward you? He'll do what you want to do. Kidei sheyase ritzoncha, so that your will become kiritzono, will be his will. So the commentators want to suggest, I saw this in the Beis Yishai. Beis Yishai was, Dayan Fisher in Eretz Yisrael. He says the following idea, that's the connection between Parshas HaChodesh and Parshas Parah. Parshas Chodesh is where Hashem has given us control over the Jewish calendar. Beis Din decides when they want it to be Rosh Chodesh. If they don't want it to be Rosh Chodesh, it's not Rosh Chodesh. Pesach will be the next day. Yom Kippur will be the next day. The Mo'adim are given over into the hands of the Beis Din. Hashem says, I am going to do whatever you want. Whenever you want it to be Yom Kippur, that's when it will be Yom Kippur for me as well. When you want it to be Pesach, Hashem says, that's when I'll make it Pesach for me. I will do your will. But it has to be preceded with a sincerity. I say, Ritzono Kirtzoncha. What is the quintessential chok? Paraduma. Do we have any understanding of how paraduma works? Zero. We do it. Why do we do it? Hashem says to do it. I say, Ritzono Kirtzoncha. Hashem, you say to do it? Does it make any sense? We can make heads and tails out of this. Not one, but we'll do what you want. What's the reward? Next week. What's next week? HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim. Hashem says, you've done what I wanted, I'm going to do what you wanted. You have control over this world. And the way the control, this idea that you have control, it's expressed in Shabbos, on Parash HaChodesh, where Beis Din, man, human beings, have control over time. Control over time is the ultimate form of control. When you decide when the calendar, the days will fall out. So these two parashios go together. Parashas Parah, Parashas HaChodesh. It corresponds to what it says in Pirkei Avos. Asay Ritzono Kirtzoncha. Kidei Sheyase Ritzoncha Kirtzono. Ritzono Kirtzoncha is Parah. And the reward for that is Sheyase Ritzoncha Kirtzono is capturing the essence of Parashas HaChodesh. Okay, now we'll go on to a more significant idea. This is a choshev idea. want to try to bring it out properly. We have a Medrash and a Gemara. The Medrash Rabba says the reason why we were given the mitzvah of Paraduma is in reward for the words of Avraham Avinu. When Avraham went to pray for the people of Sodom, he said to Hashem, please excuse me for asking you more than I should. V'anochi ofar v'efer. I'm nothing more than ofar and efer. Ofar is dust, efer is ash. Rashi explains there on the pasuk, what does Avraham mean when he said to Hashem, amach v'efer? When I refused to bow down, when I went to fight for my brother-in-law Lot, Lot was my nephew when he was captured. I went to go and retrieve him. And there was a world war taking place between the four kings and the five kings. I could have easily have died. And if I would have died, my body would have decomposed into offer. I'm Raphael, Vahimi, me, I'm Raphael, Melech, Shinner, Ayach, Melech, Melech, so and so. I lost all the four and five kings. Aaron went to battle against the four and five kings. Easily he would have been killed, while Derech HaTeva should have been killed, and he would have turned into, decomposed, and turned into Ophar. Furthermore, I should have already been turned into ash when Nimrod told me to bow down to his idol, I refused to do so. Nimrod threw me into the Kivshno Esh, and I should have been reduced to ash. So, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm a nothing. I already should have been Ophar in the time of Lot, when I went to save Lot, and I should have already been Aether when Nimrod tried to destroy me. And you miraculously saved me twice, so I have really no place to ask you for help. You've given me more than I deserve, but nevertheless, I want to pray that you should save these people in Sodom. Okay. The Medrash says, because Avraham expressed this extreme degree of humility of Anochi of Efer, he was rewarded with the mitzvah of Paraduma, which is described in the Torah as both Ofar v'Efer. Now, how is it described Ofar v'Efer? Well, first it says you take the para and you shall burn it on a fire and reduce it to Efer, into ash. Then, mysteriously, the pasuk says V'lokach ha-koyein mina Ofar, from the dust, the afar strefa sapara, and mix it with water. And the Farshim are very disturbed. Why does the Torah describe the ash with the spelling of an ayin? The Torah describes the coin will take from the ash, but it's not spelled with an aleph. It's spelled with an ayin. So the Rashi apologizes, and so do many of the commentators, that the two are interchangeable. That even though it's really ash, but, you know, stam ash is also called ofar with an ayin. So it's no big deal. Aleph, ayin, well, don't get hooked up on diktok. It's no big deal. The aleph and the ayin are all the same when it comes to, at least when it comes to ash. But the Medrash takes it much more seriously. The Medrash says that paradum is called both of afer. You burn the par into ash, and then when the Kohen he retrieves that ash and he mixes it with water, it is called offer with an ayin. The reason why we have both of those elements, those are components, it's in reward for the humility that was expressed by Avraham Avinu with his words, the Anochi offer v'efer. Okay, that is the Medrash. That is the Gemara Masechta Sota on Daf Yud Zayin, which says something very similar. In reward for Avraham Avinu saying the words Yanochi Ofar V'Efer, for the word Efer he was rewarded with Paraduma, for the word Ofar he was rewarded, his descendants were rewarded with the ash of the sota. And indeed a sota, if a husband accuses his wife of being unfaithful, he takes to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen takes from the offer, from the earth, they have fire from the earth of the Mishkan, he mixes it with water, he gives it to drink, and if she's guilty, she dies. If she's innocent, a miracle occurs, and she has a child, v'nikasa, v'nizra zera, by drinking that potion, a miracle will happen that she will be blessed with children. If she's innocent. So here we have a Medrash and we have a Gemara. The Medrash says that the word Ofar refers to Paradum as well, Efer and Ofar, and the Gemara says the word Ofar refers to the Sota. Now we have a rule, we have a principle, that it's not necessary, even though it's very true, very common, where we find a Gemara and a medrash disagree, or we find even midrashim disagree. So ha'iluchad ha'iluchad, there are conflicting midrashim which disagree with one another. But where it's possible to bridge the two together and to diminish the disagreement, ma'atayv ma'anoim. If you can really show that there are two sides of the same coin, that would be preferred, not to make the machlekes greater than it's than necessary. So with this idea, we can suggest that there's no major difference between the Gemara and the Medrash. Now let me explain. When Avram said Vnochiyav Va'efer, he said two major statements. One statement was a statement about life, and one was a statement about death. Now what do I mean? There are two major events in Avram Avinu's life. At least focusing, we're going to focus on two major events of many other major events. Number one, Avraham, when he was young and a man, he recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the creator of this world. And he was willing to give up his life, to die for Hashem. I'm going to die for Hashem. You want me to bow down to an idol? No way. You want to kill me? Go right ahead. I'm going to give up my life. Throw me into the furnace. They threw me into the furnace. Afer. I'm willing to die al-Kiddush Hashem. Then, we had his brother. He had a brother, Haran. Haran didn't know what to do. Should I give up my life? Should I be like Avraham Avinu? Do I really believe in Hashem? Do I not believe in Hashem? He then decided, you know what? Avraham survived. I believe in Hashem. I'm also going to give up my life. And they threw Haran into the furnace. But what happened? He wasn't so lucky. He died. Haran was the first person to die al-Kiddush Hashem. What happened? Avraham Avinu felt very guilty that my brother died because of my beliefs, because of what I brought into this. I survived. But my brother, even though my brother, a question of his sincerity, but the bottom line is, Haran was the first person who gave up his life, al kiddush shem shemayim, like the way the world goes on today. Today people, they're thrown into a furnace, they're not coming out alive. So Metzius, he gave up his life, Haran. Avraham, what could I do for my brother? What can I do? He has a son. He has a son, Lot. What do people care about in this world? They care about their children. They don't care about... That is what it's all about. It's all about the children. We all know that. That is where it starts and ends. Everything is all about the children. Avraham Avinu said, my brother died because of my belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I owe it to my brother to take that he should live on. His legacy should live on, and his legacy is his son, Lot. Okay, Lot is not necessarily the biggest tzaddik, but it's his son. This is all he got. And therefore, I am going to see to it that my brother's legacy, his son, is successful, is happy, and has a good life. And wherever Avraham went, Lot went. He took him with him. He didn't have to do that. He took him with him to take care of him. And then when things got a little bit out of hand, okay, Lot, you go there, I'll go here, but I'll always be by your son. You'll never need me, I'll always be. And he proved it. Vayishma Avraham ki nishba ochiv. Notice, he calls Lot his brother. Rashi tells us because he looked like Avraham Avinu. But on a deeper level, when he looked at Lot, who was he looking at? He, my brother. Because you are my brother's legacy. My brother died because of my belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're my brother. I owe it to my brother. I have to take care of you. You, Lot, are my brother. By Yishma Avram ki nishba ochiv, Avram, what did he do? He risked his life that Lot should live. Should live. Because his brother gave up his life. So it comes, how did he risk his life? He went to fight a world war against four kings, five kings, total of nine kings, that his brother should live. Better they should kill me, and my brother should live. So what do we have here? Afer is death. I should have been thrown into the furnace and should have turned into ash. Death. In honor of Hashem. Afar is life. I'm willing to give up my life that Lot should live. I should have been reduced to offar, to dust, I should have died, turned into dust. When I go into battle to save the life of my brother's son, Lot. So it's true, I would suffer. I would rather take the suffering. I would rather die so that Lot, who is my brother's son, should live. So the symbolism of these two words is death and life. Avraham Avinu said, Ribbono shel Olam, v'anochi afar v'efer. I'm a nothing. You've been kind to me. You've allowed me to survive on two levels. You've allowed me to survive death, my action which would have resulted in my death. And you've also allowed me to survive in an act that I've done in order to ensure that that life continues to exist in this, not for me, but for someone else. Afar, afar is death, is symbolic of death. Afar is symbolic of life. Yeah.
Makes
yeah.
Things can
grow.
And in Aether, nothing can grow.
No, excellent. There's no more potential. The potential, Aether's, Aether Ash, has already had its potential. It's over. There's no more use for ash. Earth is a source of life. You plant, things grow in ash. Now, let's come. Now that we have this idea, I hope this idea is clear. Afar is Avraham Avinu's life, is death. Also, all for Avodah Zarah. Everything goes back to Avodah Zarah. Par Adum, we have to remember, it's like a par for Avodah Zarah. Egel is Avodah Moshe Darshan. Par Adum, the mother should clean up after the son. It's like a par for the Chet HaEgel, Eilu Lohecha Yisrael. Afar is death, Afar is life, to ensure that Lot live. Now let's go to Sota. Now it makes perfectly logical sense. Let's go first to Sota. What's Sota? In the reward for Avraham Avinu saying off of Afar, he was given the reward of the ash of Parah Aduma. The ash of Parah Aduma is the kapara for what we deserve, death. A person worships Avodah Zarah, it is the ultimate death. It's the ultimate sin. Avodah Zarah is one of the pun is Chiv Misa. Anochi Hashem Elokecha lo yelocha Elohim Achem. This is number one, right? Aseres Hadibros. Anochi Hashem Elokecha lo yelocha Elohim Achem. If you worship idols, there's death. Parah Aduma is a kapara for a sin which is deserving of death. Okay, that's clear. What is Sota? Sota, if the woman is innocent, she has not been unfaithful. She just was causing her husband, and now there's peace between man and wife. What's the bracha? V'nikasa, v'nizra zera. Life. Life. The afer of Avraham Avinu, and reward from Avraham Avinu saying, Afar, earth, which was an expression which represents his Mesiras Nefesh, to preserve life, to preserve the life of my brother's son. And because of my brother, he renounced idolatry. And because of that, he died. But at least I want to preserve his legacy, to preserve life. Aaron was given the reward of life. His descendants, with the mitzvah of Sota, where there was a problem, and then through the Isha drinking this earth, the Nikisa, she's innocent, the Nizra Zera, she will bring into this world new life. That's the Gemara in Sota. You clearly see the Midik Negamida. But let's go even further. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create man in this world? How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring life in the very first time? He mixed together earth and water. The Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a paste, a challah. He took earth from the Mizbeach, and according to one Medrash, from all four corners of the earth, and he brought them together, and then the Eid Yala Min Haaretz, the Hishkas Pnei Hazera, Hadama, the moistened, there was water, there was Mayim, together with earth, it formed the clay. Hashem took that clay, molded it into the shape of a human being, and Vayipach Ba'ap of Nishmas Chayim. In the parish of Sota, what happened? In parish of Paraduma, first you take the para, and then what do you do with the para? You destroy it. That is the kapara, the eradication of evil of Avodah Zarah. And then what do? The Torah mysteriously says, take from the earth. It no longer calls the ash ash. It calls the ash earth and mix it with water. What are you doing when you're mixing earth with water? You are reenacting life, the creation of life. Just like Sota, V'nikasa V'nizra Zera, the parallel of Afar, go back to creation. You are reenacting the creation of life by mixing together earth and water. So what Hashem is telling Avraham Avinu in reward for you, saying, V'nochi Afar V'Efer, in reward for what you've done, you have renounced Avodah Zarah, you and your brother. And you and through you and your brother, you've done so with an expression of Ofer for Efer. And later, generations later, when there's going to be Avodah Zarah among your descendants, there's going to be the Egel. I'm going to give you the Parah Adumah, and in the Parah Adumah, I'm going to atone for Avodah Zarah. They'll worship, they'll be sinners, they'll worship Avodah Zarah, but I'm going to give them the opportunity to atone for that Avodah Zarah. Just like you, Avraham Avinu, you went and you renounced it, you got rid of it, you gave yourself, you'd be thrown into the furnace. And then when it came to your brother who did die, you went to the degree to preserve his legacy. My brother, he went and he gave up his life for Avodah Zarah. I'm going to make sure that he lives on to show that to the entire world. I'm going to do the same thing to your children. They'll be nichshol, and unfortunately they're going to be nichshol Avodah Zarah, but I'm going to give them the opportunity to get out of it. How? We're going to have a para. The para is going to be the atonement. The mother is going to atone. We're going to burn it. We're going to eradicate it. And by eradicating the para, that's going to serve as an atonement to destroy. It's called carbon. It's going to destroy the Avodah Zarah. And then there's going to be new life. There's going to be a renewal of life by taking the earth, which is really the part which now turns in from Afar into Afar, mixing it with water is what Hashem did when He created life for the very first time. And the proof that mixing of water and earth is life is the Sota. The Sota also is the other side of the coin where the earth is mixed with water, with Hashem's name. And what does that produce? V'nikasa V'nizra Zera. So the two go together, but it all starts back with the first time there was a renouncement of idolatry in the time of Ravinu, and the key to remember is there are two parts, death and life. You die al kiddush Hashem, and you live al kiddush Hashem. The dying was by Amravinu, Afer. The living was the legacy of Haran. Legacy of Haran was in Lot. Lot had to live on to preserve the legacy of his father. And that was also a selfless act of Ravina, which is captured in the term of Afar. And indeed, what comes from Lot? Mashiach. You can't say Lot was just on a single person. Lot, obviously we have problems with Lot. No one's coming to deny the problems. It's not part of Klal Yisrael. But Mashiach came from Lot. You can't Moav, Rus and Moav. And from Rus, Musam Oviad, Malchus of David, Malach HaMashiach. So all of these things come together in Parashas Parah. The lesson is to die al Kiddush Hashem and to live al Kiddush Hashem. So Sach HaKol, we've gone through four different ideas in relation to Parah Aduma. The first recap, the first idea, what was the first idea of Parah Aduma? The Abderav. Oyev Yisrael. And what do the Abderav say? That we have to be mitar for the bad influence of watching those firecrackers on Purim. The bad influence of Purim has to be atoned for on Parashas Parah. The second thing that we spoke about was, and then remember, a very poor memory. What was the second thing that we spoke about? That was the third. The Pirkei goes. The third thing was the Pirkei Avos is Aser Ritzonoch Kushias Ritzono. The second thing was the Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer, potential. Even though the par is only 2 years old, it means we're telling Kadosh Baruch Hu in Parshas Parah. Even though this whole thing is far from us, we have no shaychus to what it's all about. We have potential. And the last thing that we spoke about is this idea of Lot, Ofer, Efer. The two different stadim of death and life, and how it comes out in Sota and in Paraduma, mixing together water with Ofer. Okay, we'll stop here.